You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. Put your finger there, you can turn to the book of Judges chapter 15. Put your finger there. No. Say, oh Lord, you got two verses. Lord. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning reading with verse 12. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. The book of Judges chapter 15, verse 15, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand, and he took it, and he slew 1,000 of the 1,000 men therewith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today. Use me as an oracle of your presence, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look right now and say, hey, pick it up. Amen. Lord willing, I want to speak to you a few moments this morning on a subject I'd simply entitled, Pick It Up. Amen. Elijah and Samson were two very different kind of men. They had at least two things in common. Number one, they were both used mightily of God. Secondly, they both had something they needed within reach, but they had to pick it up. Hello? Some people today are looking for something that's right there, and they can't see it. Any of you ever heard of a guy named Sutter? Amen. You ever studied the history of America? You remember there was a guy on the farm, had a mill out in California. They called it Sutter's Mill. You know, he found some gold in that water, but he was too lazy to go pick it up. It was 100 yards out the back door of his house, but he hired people to collect the gold. Problem was they kept shoveling off to the side, and he didn't get none of it. He tried to open up a town to get some of the gold, yet people working for him kept cheating him. Do you realize that John Sutter actually died a pauper, even though the 49 gold strike of California, the largest gold strike in America, and he owned the land it was on? Amen. Why? Because he was too lazy to pick it up. He kept waiting on it to jump on him. Amen. Hello? Oh, it gets even better. And a dude on some land over in the Middle East, somewhere in the little northern part of Libya. And he got tired because he was trying to mine diamonds and couldn't ever find none. So he sold this place and went and bought another diamond mine, thinking he was going to get rich. Turned out the other diamond mine didn't have anything in it but fake diamonds. Amen. Oh, he made some money selling cheap diamonds, but he never got rich. He never had a lot of money. He sold that place, and 2 weeks later, after he sold it, 2 weeks after he sold that place in Libya, dude digging in the back of it out there, turns around and discovers what became known as the Star of Africa. Don't even know what that is. That's a 3,106-carat diamond. Oh, it's on the top of the sepulcher of the crown jewels of Britain. A few months later, he digs up another one that became known as the Lesser Star of Africa. It's 317 carats. Amen. Don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't mind having 1 carat. Glory. Amen. I mean, just so you understand, that dude made more money off them two diamonds than the other dude made the rest of his life and never even looked back. You say, what are you getting at? It was right in his backyard, but he never took hold of it. He never picked it up. Can I tell you, we got folks sitting here right now. You're waiting on God to do something for you. Can I tell you, 85% of what you're praying about, you're part of the answer. And it's time some of you realize that if God puts the answer next to you, you've got to take hold of it, apply it to your life, or it's never going to happen. Could you say amen? You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter how much glory falls around you, how much power is around you, how much peace is around you, how much joy is around you, until you apply it to your life, it is never going to happen for you. Could you say amen? That jawbone became a weapon of mass destruction for Samson, but it didn't happen until he picked it up. Hello? Glory. Listen, 2 Kings chapter 6. The Bible tells me Elijah, he's got the anointing of God on his life. But notice what happened. But one was felling a beam, and the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." In other words, I got a borrowed axe, and I broke the head, and it fell in the river, and it sunk. And now I'm in trouble because I don't know how I'm going to buy another axe. I couldn't even afford one to begin with. And now the axe head's in the water. What did Elijah do? The Bible said, and the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and he cast it thither. And the iron did swim. Amen. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and he took it. Amen. Notice this. He didn't get the axe head back just by sitting there watching it crawl out on the bank. He laid hold of it and applied it. Come on, church. There's a theme to what I'm trying to tell some of y'all. Amen. A young prophet lost the axe head and he had to get it. But can I tell you, we need to understand things are going on. I didn't come here this morning to be a whimpering man of God to tell you that everything's going bad, complain about how bad the economy is. I know the economy's not that great. It ain't as bad as they're trying to make it sound. Come on, church. It ain't as good as some of us trying to make it sound. And I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you all these things are going on. Well, preacher, you're going to bury your head in the sand? No, I'm going to bury my head in the Word of God. Amen. I done made up my mind. I'm not worried about what's going to happen with the economy. I'm not worried about what's going to happen with these other things that's going on around here. I'm going to realize that I have a God who tells me, according to Psalms 121 and 1, he said, "I will look up and lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord." I'm not dependent on this government to get me out. I'm not dependent on this government to provide my health care. I'm not dependent on this government to provide for my care in this world. And I don't really care what's going to happen down here. What I come to tell you this morning is God is in control. God is still on the throne. God is still the one we can depend on, and in him we can live and we can move and we can have our being, and by him we can become more than conquerors. Could you say amen? We have a lot of preachers on, "Well, the church ain't what it used to be." Y'all ever heard that? I got so sick of that when I was evangelizing, because everybody goes, "Well, I mean, we used to have revivals." I said, "Well, why ain't you still having them? If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the only thing can change be us." Hello? "Well, preacher, you got to be politically correct." That's what's wrong with the church. We're so busy trying to be politically correct, we're not spiritually correct. Glory. Amen. That didn't cost you nothing. I just throw that in there. Amen. What I want to tell you is that the church is not going under. The church of God and the people of God are not going under. Our God's on the throne, and no matter what happens, God's going to lift us up. Could you say amen? Listen, Psalms 24 and 1. "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, for the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the sea and established it upon the floods." What's he saying? He said the very things man can't control, God's established a kingdom on it. Oh, come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I don't know. There's a lot of floods going on." My Bible said God sits on the flood. Glory. A guy told me one time, he said, "You believe God could sit on a flood? If I got a son walk on water, I believe I could sit on a flood." Come on, church. Amen. Glory. I never forget when we were in Israel. Alex will remember this. I actually got to preach while we were in Israel. Of course, they did it while we was on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And the guy that was in charge, the guide, he walked up to me and he said, "Brother Ken." I said, "Yes, Mike." He said, "You come to Israel to walk where Jesus walked." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You preach too long. We're going to let you do that." I got that message real quick. That was one of my shortest sermons. Amen. Because all I could see around me was water, and I didn't figure I was equipped for it. Come on, church. Wow. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" The church is like the ark in the Old Testament. The floodwaters came. They covered the highest mountain. But notice what happened. The ark rode on top of the water. The very thing was destroying everything else. The church was lifted up. And what happened? Listen, amen, we need to understand that the church in its worst times is lifted up to its highest place. Amen. You say, "What are you talking about?" No matter how bad things get, God will find a way to take us and put us on the top. You say, "Prove it. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose." As long as I'm holding on to God, I may not win every battle, but I'm going to win the war. Could you say amen to that, church? The finest hour of the church is the one we're living in right now. I'm going to have to shout about that myself. Some of y'all, well, preacher, we can talk about that. No, we can't. Joel chapter 2, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. And upon thy handmaid and thy servant will I pour out of my spirit. What's he talking about? Amen. Actually put in better words. Peter said it this way, preaching on the day of Pentecost. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We're living in the last days. We agree on that. God's coming back. If that be the case, the church ought to be in its greatest glory under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And what we in the church have got to do is keep waiting. Quit waiting on God just to pour it on us and reach out, take hold of the presence of God and say, I want the joy and the peace that pass all understanding. Could you say amen? We're chosen of God for right now. I saw a guy the other day, said, boy, wouldn't you like to live back in the 50s? I said, no, sir, preacher starved to death back in the 50s. Hello? And I started preaching. I preach revivals from them old preachers, and they give me them horror stories about where they lived and how they had to get by. And I'm like, it's bad enough when I got started. I didn't want to go downhill. Come on, church. Somebody told me, said, I like being a brush arbor. It's because you ain't never been in one. I preached in brush arbor and outside meetings, and I know what it's like to eat something on the way home to get the bugs to go on down your throat instead of hanging on. Glory. Hello? And I'll be honest with you, church, when we moved from the campground to an air-conditioned facility, folks said, oh, it just won't be the same. I said, I know, ain't nothing's going to pass out from heat exhaustion. Glory. Well, we sit around church talking about, oh, I wish it was like it used to be. I don't want it to be like it was used to be. God didn't want me back in the 50s. If you had, I'd have been born and back early enough to have been a preacher in the 50s. God appointed me for the day in which I live. God put you here to be here for the day in which you live. And we need to realize that I'm not an accident. I'm not a mistake. I'm here on purpose. God put me here to live in this day and to live in this time. And I'm excited about it. I don't want to live in the past. And I want God to move in my life right now. For me to do that, I got to realize God put me here for right now. Could you say amen? Glory. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? God put me here because he believes in me. Some of you ought to look around yourself and say, wait a minute. I'm not here by accident. I'm here because God put me here for this time. And you know why? Because God believes in me. Amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look at me and I say, hey, God believes in you. Hey, somebody shake Wyatt's hand, tell him God believes in him. Amen. He's sitting there, hands going every way, and y'all shaking everybody's hand. Leave poor boy sitting there. Glory. Amen. God believes in you. If he didn't, he wouldn't put you here. You say, what are you talking about? He said he should not allow you to be tempted beyond that you could bear, but in all things God will make a way of escape. If God didn't think you could handle it, he won't put you in that situation. Hello? And because you're where you are doing what you're doing, God's doing it because he believes in you. He believes you can handle it. He put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Babylonian captivity because he trusted those boys to take a stand for him. And what did they do? They took a stand for him. And because of that, they walked through the fire and came out the other side. He put Daniel in that same position, and Daniel walked through the lion's den and come out the other side. Why? It wasn't because God had something against Daniel. He believed in Daniel. He believed in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God believes in us, and he put us here so we can make a difference in this world. Could you say amen? Glory. You say, what are you talking about? You may be the only Christian in your family. You may be the only Christian on your job. You may be the only Christian that's got anything to do with God at your school or in your class or maybe even in your neighborhood. And what you got to realize is God put you there because he wants you to make a difference in somebody. But for you to do that, you got to pick it up. You got to get a hold of the presence, the power of God so you can make a difference in somebody's life. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, when you go to work tomorrow morning, God's not expecting you to be the greatest worker on your job. Amen. He expects you to work hard. Come on, church. I don't believe God likes people that's slothful. But what God wants you to do when you get to work tomorrow, Chris, God wants you to show folks what God looked like if he was a lawyer. Amen. Praise God. Amen. When you go to work as a carpenter, he don't care if you drive the most nails just so you show what God looks like when he's driving nails. Amen. You're the secretary. You don't have to be the greatest secretary in the world. You just got to be good at what you do and let them know what God would do if God just happened to be the secretary on that job. Why? Because you are the eyes and you are the ears and you are the life of God that some people are going to see, and God's depending on you to make a difference in their life. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? If you don't pick it up and you don't do what God wants you to do, there could be somebody miss eternity because you didn't do what you were going to do. Hello? Oh, that's good stuff. Glory. I didn't think things ain't bad. I understand things are bad. I understand things are going downhill. I understand the government's messed up. I was reading something this morning that one of the missionaries in Israel said they've been seeing troop movements in Israel. And even though we ain't seen no national television yet, they're putting troops in the Golan Heights, and they're putting troops down in the south near the West Bank. They're putting troops in near Lebanon, and they've actually put some missile defense systems in and around Jerusalem. I don't know if y'all understand what that means, but that means Netanyahu's about had enough of Iran he can handle. Hello? And when he gets ready to take care of them, he's not going to ask our permission. He's just going to do it. That's the way they function. You say, well, preacher, that's not going to bother us. Really? What's going to happen when all them oil wells go up in Iran? You're going to start paying more for gas. So whatever happens over there affects us. Don't kid yourself. Come on, church. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what are we going to do? What I'm not saying that things ain't bad, and I'm not telling you the world's not shaking real bad. What I'm telling you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What I'm telling you is what Paul wrote to Timothy when he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day. What I'm trying to tell you is that if God is for me, who can come against me? What I'm telling you is that if God is going to do it, if I hang on with him, I've got victory. Coming. It doesn't matter what happens down here as long as I take hold of what God has put in my life. Glory. The world's shaking. There's earthquakes. There's tsunamis. There's tornadoes. Financial storms shaking everything. Jesus said this, my kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom was of this world, they would fight that I might not be delivered unto you. Glory. But he said, my kingdom is not far from hence. You know what he said? He said, my kingdom's going to come. What did he tell them when he prayed? He said, you know, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord wasn't praying that prayer. He was telling them how to pray. He said, this is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Glory. What are you talking about? You get that kingdom in your life and you set it up in your heart. Then the next thing you know, you're part of that kingdom. And that kingdom don't get shook. That kingdom don't get tore up by everything that comes along. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of you sitting there say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? See, I live in a part of a kingdom that has an unshakable foundation. I'm a part of a kingdom that's got an unshakable king. I'm a part of a kingdom that's going to be there forever and forever and forever. Because you see, I hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 when he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What rock are we talking about? Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But there is no foundation laid that is greater than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if I'm founded in him, that rock's not shaking no matter what goes on in this world. Could you say amen? Woo. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not the fear, for though the earth be removed and though the mountains are carried to the depth of the sea, earthquakes, though the waters therefore roar and are troubled, tsunamis, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, volcanoes. He goes on to say, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. For God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. For God shall help her, and that right early. What are you saying? I don't care what's going on. God's in charge. And if we can ever comprehend that, we understand that I don't have to worry about today, tomorrow, the next day. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all sitting there going, well, preacher, I'm not getting carried away. No, you're questioning the God you serve. If that God is able to do everything he says he can do in this book, then we have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of, because I realize I am overcoming because of him, not because of me. Glory. And I pick it up because of who he is. Come on, church. Now, we're not talking about just anybody. I'm not talking about a God that's got to have a camel salesman preach for me. I'd hate to be a Muslim and know that the greatest preacher I ever had was a camel salesman that became a prophet when he married a rich woman. Glory. Start talking about a God Allah. Hello? I hate to know that I was Buddhist, that the greatest thing could happen to me was nothing. Study the Buddhist religion. They want to obtain nirvana. What is that? The state of perfect nothingness. Rode through it last week. Matter of fact, we passed through several states that had nothing in it. Glory. Amen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Wouldn't you hate to be a Hindu? I mean, you couldn't eat cow, it might be Aunt Bessie. And if you die, you want your ashes scattered over the Himalayas so everybody else can pray that you'll bless them. And you can come back as a cow. Somewhere down the line, that just don't enthrill me. We were in Israel. They were praying. We walked by one of the soldiers, and I looked at him. I said, hey, dude, does it not bother you with all these Muslims praying like that? And he said, who's listening? I'm like, I like that. When you outnumber 13 to 1 and they're all praying for you to die, you got to believe there ain't nobody paying attention to what they're saying. Come on, church. What we got to ask ourselves is the God that made this statement that says he can take care of us, is he able to do it? It's not a question of whether or not I'm able to do anything. I'm not an overcomer in myself. I'm going to overcome through him who have loved me and have given me life. Amen. And if I believe he's the God that spoke this world into existence, and I can believe this God that spoke the world into existence is the same God that could create things in my life to give me an overcoming power to be an overcomer in him. Amen. If I believe that this God is able to scoop out the valleys and heap up the mountains and the oceans wash in the hollow of his hand, then I got to believe that this God can do anything I need him to do in my life. If I believe that this God can span out the heavens, hang every star in the sky to the number that if I lived to be 1,000,000 years old, I couldn't count all the stars in the sky, that that God who knows every one of them by name, he ought to be able to do anything I need him to do in my life. If I believe the word of God that said he rides on the wings of the wind and that the clouds are his chariot, that he sets on the circle of the earth and the earth has become his footstool, if I believe that my God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, then I ought to believe that whatever I need in this world, my God can perform it, my God can provide it. And if I believe it and I take hold of it, then I've got to believe that my God is able to do anything I need him to do. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Mm. Glory, it's 12 o'clock. See, church, what I'm trying to tell you is it's our time. Bible said, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in due time. I believe it's our time. Hello? Listen to what Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come in thy light, and the king of the brightness shall be thy rising. Lift up the eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar. Thy daughters shall be nursed at the side. He said, what are you saying? God's saying it's time for us to come up. It doesn't matter what's happening. God's putting a spotlight on the church in this last day. And he said, if you'll just get in the light, Gentiles will come to you. The lost will come to you. They'll come looking for what I've got. And I think it's time we understand this is our day. This is a time the church needs to stand up and say, wait a minute. There is a difference in this world. There is an answer to your problems. It is Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, the only life that can walk wash away every sin you got and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, listen, we need to understand it's for such a time as this to let God begin to move. It's a time to rise and shine, a time to stand up, a time to speak out. It's a time to declare ourselves. Moses demanded the book of Exodus, who is on the Lord's side, declare yourself and make yourself known. Elijah said, demanded this thing, said, choose one side or the other. Either serve God or serve Baal, but quit jumping back and forth between the two. Glory. Jesus demanded this way. He said, he that's not for me is against me. And if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering abroad. Let me say it another way. We're either part of the solution or we're part of the problem. We can't just get in between. Hello? Some of us, like Esther, you've been brought to this kingdom for such a time as this. Listen to what the Bible tells. It's our time now. Hello? Do y'all believe that? Would you look at your neighbor and look around now and say, hey, it's our time. Glory. We've been on the backside of the wilderness for a long time. Covered places, hid, trying to act like we don't know what we're doing. You know what Joel also says? He doesn't just talk about the outpouring of the Spirit, but Joel also says it's time for the bride to get out of the closet. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's time we got out the closet and let the world know we're still here. We've been hid a while, but we're ready to let you know God's moving and God's coming. Come on, church. Amen. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You got to understand, no. It's a time like this that God brought us forth and put us where we are. And God wants us to work. Listen, Esther understood something. She needed to work. But notice what Mordecai told Esther. If you don't take it up and do it now, someone else will raise up a voice for God, but your family will be destroyed. You know what he said? He said, if you don't stand up and be counted right now, somebody else is going to do this. God's people are going to eventually be delivered. It's just the problem is it's going to be some of your family going to suffer because you didn't stand up. And I got news for you, church. I don't want God to call me and ask and say, wait a minute, Alabaster went under. Because when the time comes for you to move, you set to talk about what a great job you was doing in the building. Amen. I think it's time we woke up and realized it's a time that we're in right now, and it's time we do something for God. Could you say amen? I'll never forget, I used to always run up the coast. Well, is it my time? Is it my time? Huh? You get out there and practice and kill yourself, and you be standing on the side, I run up, and is it my time? He'd say, get back over there. Glory. Hello? Totally by accident, I got my time. He spun around and said, get in there. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the guy behind me. But I saw him point and say, get in there. I was in there before he could do anything. Glory. I'm in the ninth grade, and I'm back receiving a punt. And he's having a fit trying to call timeout, and the team kicked the ball before he could get the timeout. And I'm sitting there waiting that ball come down, and I caught it, and I run with everything I had. 80 yards later, I was in the end zone. I got chewed out twice. Once for going in the ball game. Second for having the ball under the wrong arm. And he said, I'd already told everybody, just fair catch the ball. We was up 40 points. You're just rubbing it in. Glory. I thought it was my time. Hello? Come on, church. Some of y'all missed that. Hear the words of the Lord. The spotlight's on you. Elijah, the spotlight's on you. 50 sons of prophets are watching. Do you really have the goods? Do you have the power? Can you divide the Jordan River? Can you raise the dead? Can you cast out the devil? Can you do these things? And all of a sudden, he takes the mantle and he slaps the water and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the water parted and he walks through and those guys go, oh. Hello? Come on, church. People are looking at the church today, and they see us falling apart just like they are, and they're wondering, where's the power the church used to walk into? They see us crying when everybody else is crying. They say, where is the power that used to give them joy that was unspeakable and full of glory? If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we ought to have that same power right now. The world is looking at us, and they're saying, hey, where is that Holy Ghost you used to talk about? Where is that faith that used to carry you? Where is that power that used to make you an overcomer? I got news for you, church. It's right here, and God's trying to tell the church, if you'll take hold of it. It's just as real right now as it's ever been. It's just as glorious as it's ever been. If we'll just trust in the power of God, could you say amen? Pick it up. When you pick up the mantle, you're saying to God, I'm committed. I'm in it for the real term. I want to be anointed. I want to be chosen. I want to do something for God. When you pick up the mantle, you're saying, I'm in the game. I'm not a spectator anymore. God God gave me an idea the other day. I know it'll upset some people because they're going to say, oh, that's foolish. But I thought about putting a sign up, no parking in the sanctuary. Because I don't want folks coming here thinking they're just going to park on a pew somewhere and not do nothing. Hello? I got some of you have been thinking about giving parking tickets. That's really not my notes, but I thought I'd throw that in. Glory. If you pick up the mantle, you're saying to God, I choose God's side. I choose truth. I choose wholeness. I choose obedience. I choose faithfulness. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I think it's time we made up our mind we're going to serve God. See, I believe it's time for us to go to another level. Hello? We've been here long enough. It's time to move on. I don't know how many times I've had people tell me, well, we get to a certain place, and that's just as far as we can go. That's because somebody ain't made up their mind they're not going back. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but I'm not happy where we are. I'm happy we got here, but I'm ready to go on. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but I was raised, and when you reach this point, there's always something better. Until you get perfection, and that ain't going to happen until we're in heaven. And so no matter how big we get, we couldn't be happy because we have to get bigger. Come on, church. Somebody said, oh, he's off in numbers again. No, I'm off in souls. Because every time somebody new shows up that's not where they need to be with God and getting this altar, we've accomplished something the kingdom of God needs accomplished. Come on, church. Amen. You said, what are you talking about? I want to see us go to another level. I want to see us to the level of raise our level of praise. I want to see us raise our level of faith. I want to see us raise our level of consecration, raise the level of anointing, raise the level of power in the church. And for that to happen, we as a congested body must grab a hold to the power of God, apply to our lives and say, it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit. But in thy spirit, I'm taking this kingdom for the glory of Almighty God. This ain't going to cost you nothing, church. And I'm fixing the clothes to make some of y'all happy. We used to practice in football how to make a huddle. Our coach was old-fashioned. He thought everything had to be practiced, so we had to practice how to make a huddle. If you didn't get in the right place, he'd chew you out when you come off the sideline. Hey, I looked stupid out there a while ago. He had to keep your shirt tail pushed in. Somebody grab your shirt and pull it out. You had to go over and get somebody to pack your shirt tail back in. Because he didn't want you in the huddle looking sloppy. We practice making a huddle. We used to get out every year and raise money, buy new uniforms because we was purple and white, and them pants look bad after the year because they get green on them and messed up. And he said, we got to have a new uniform. We go buy a new uniform. You know, in all the years I played ball, I suddenly realized folks didn't come out there and buy tickets to watch us huddle. They didn't come buy tickets to see how nice we looked in our uniforms. I don't know if y'all figured it out yet or not, but I was one of them who's always getting after about my shirt tail being out or my socks being down around my ankles because I didn't spend all the time doing that stuff. I kept worrying about what I was going to do to that dude when the ball was snapped next time. Glory. Because I come to realize them folks in the stand paid money to see what we were going to do when that other group that was trying to run over us was trying to run over us. You know, the world could care less about how good we huddle on Sunday morning. And they could care less about how nice we look when we ride down the road in our fancy cars and our nice clothes. What they want to know is what we're going to do when the devil's standing right in front of us, facing us eye to eye and saying, I'm coming, what are you going to do? And the world wants to see the church say, I want to tell you something. I don't know about y'all. A couple of nights ago, I was out on the back porch. And I got to look at that thing been going on. And I can't kick good with this leg, but I kicked with all I could. And I said, I'm through. Y'all noticed which leg I kicked with, didn't you? Y'all try that. Glory. And I stood there, and I pointed my hand out there, and I said, devil, I want you to know something. I didn't come to Alabaster to live with you. I didn't come so that you could have one part of town, I'd have the other. God sent me here to take over. And I'm telling you tonight, you might as well be informed. I made up my mind, no matter what happens to me before it's over with, this town is going to belong to God, or I'm going to be in a grave trying to make it happen. And it's time some of y'all made up your mind and tell the devil it's over. We didn't come to get along. We come to take over, and we're not backing up till we've done the job. Stand with me all over the house. Father God, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy. God, we know your power and your grace is sufficient. God, we know, Lord, that you can do all things in our lives. Father God, give us dominion. Help us tear down strongholds and let the devil know we aren't existing peaceably anymore. We declare war this morning. We take hold of the word of God and we believe you for victory. Our loved ones are going to be saved. Our houses are going to be cleansed. Our lives are going to be fulfilled through the power of your grace. In Jesus' name. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name.